o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch. Begins with some news that broke yesterday as Carl Nassib.
Nassib?
You remember Carl from Hard Knocks? Prior to yesterday's announcement, he was the dude giving financial tips to rookies and other players. He was on, you know, typically if you get guys up in front
this.
Before meetings start, there's a lot of foolishness that's written on the grease boards. He's up there breaking down like stocks and compound interest and the whole deal. That's the that's one of the first things that, you know, jumped in when before I heard this yesterday.
So Carl Nassib is a defensive lineman for the Las Vegas Raiders. And on his Instagram yesterday, he announced, even though I thought he did a fantastic job of trying to be clear on, look, I don't want attention for this, I'm doing it for other reasons. But he announced that he's gay. And as I told Scalzo and Brust yesterday, because I save my best material for other shows, as we know, I immediately thought back to when Aaron Rodgers and I were doing the radio show together. And in 2014, there were rumors on these various blogs about his sexual orientation. And the PR department decided that the radio show would be the place to address them and dismiss them. Now, I'll be honest, in the 4 years we did that show, we never pre-planned anything. So it's a lot like this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, very similar to what we're doing now.
Like, he never wanted questions in advance. He was always respectful of my job as a beat writer, in addition to being a radio host, and said, you don't have to pull any punches with any of your questions. I'm a big boy. I can handle whatever you ask. So I feel like there were times where I had to ask him difficult questions, and he answered them. This was the one time in 4 years that there was pre-show planning about a question and about how we were going to ask about it and how he was going to answer it. And Tausch, I'll admit, it is the biggest regrets that I have from that era and one of the biggest regrets of my entire career.
Wow.
The way we handled it. Yeah. I mean, this to this day bothers me to no end.
So, I kind of fill me in on this because I wasn't an avid listener to your guys' show back then. So, rumors were out. What was the kind of the baseline for
this? Yes. So, there were rumors that he was gay.
Okay.
And so, the PR department decided that using the radio show as the vehicle to dismiss the rumors was the way to go. And so before the show, the PR person that handled Rodgers most and Aaron and I had a conversation about it. How do you want to go about this? And look, I may try to tell you how to give gifts, but generally I like to ask people what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what their gut reaction is to see where they're at. And then if I'm going to give advice, I'm going to give it. And if I disagree, I'm going to tell you. So in this case, you know, the PR guy was like floating ideas, multiple ideas on what to say. And I interrupted and I said, Aaron, what do you want to say? And I will never forget this. He said, look, I'm not gay. But what if I was? What if that is who you are? And there are a bunch of people that feel like you should be ashamed of who you are. Imagine the feeling people must have that are treated in a way that they are told you should be ashamed of who you are. Now, I understand there are religious implications for some folks. I personally, look, and you want, we don't have to have this debate on the radio because I've already ruined the show during the first hour. I don't want to get into a Christianity debate, but I can be a Christian and be accepting of people that are gay. I understand there are others that can't seem to do it, and I would be curious, when we can talk about this, how that plays out in the locker room, because there's a lot of religious guys, or at least guys that claim to be religious, in NFL locker rooms. But for me, when Rodgers said this, talking about how do you make people feel when you tell them they should be ashamed of who they are, I said, that's what you need to say. Because think about the impact of someone of his stature saying that to the 16-year-old kid who plays on his football team and is a good player and lives holding this back because he's afraid of how his teammates are going to react. He may not become open about it, but it reassures that kid that's listening to the show. There were so many positives that could have come out of it because he was going to be honest and give his actual feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the PR guy told him not to do it. He said, do you really want to be the next Chris Cluey? Now, for those of you that don't remember Chris Cluey, he was a punter for the Vikings who was very active. He was not gay, apparently, but he was very active in LGBTQ causes. And he became kind of this spokesperson for the NFL needing to be more accepting. And the argument was, if you say this, then you're going to be talking about this all the time. To which I said, no. You don't have to. You could say, if you get more questions at your locker, look, I said how I feel about this. I don't think I need to talk about it more. This is how I feel. You guys know how I feel. Let's talk about something else. But instead, we did this inauthentic, awkward, I like girls or I like women, and like this, you know how we always complain about courtesy laughter? Like, we did, like, fake chuckling to downplay. It was terrible. I was embarrassed by it. And what really bothered me was that he had a heartfelt answer that could have been a very positive thing. And instead, it was this dismissive thing. And it really bothered me because I thought we missed an opportunity to be on the right side of history for a lot. Again, I know there are people that are going to disagree with me. I get it. But I disagree with them, so we're even.
Well, I'm confused. I mean, why did you go to the PR folks? Why didn't you just...
I didn't. They were aware of these blogs, and they huddled with the quarterback to discuss it beforehand. And again, I would have just liked to have had him answer authentically, because I think... And I've mentioned this to him in the past, that... It's a big regret of mine. We missed an opportunity there. So I am thrilled that Carl Nassib has come out and said this. And the approach that he took, and I saw this, Tausch, I don't know if you saw, because I want to ask you about how this will be in a locker room, you know, now versus then. But in his statement, in his comment underneath the video, he wrote, studies have shown that all it takes is one accepting adult to decrease the risk of an LGBTQ kid attempting suicide by 40%. Whether you're a friend, a parent, a coach, or a teammate, you can be that person. And that, when I read that in his post, was what got me, because that's what I was thinking about from the radio thing. Because maybe Aaron Rodgers might have been that person to reassure that kid out there. And I hope Carl Nassib is able to be that person for a bunch of kids, because there are kids that struggle with this, and this would make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, back when I was playing, this would have been, it would have been really tough for someone to come into a locker room if they were gay. I don't think there's any question about that. And there's a reason. It's not like there have not been gay NFL players before. I know Esra Tuaolo came out. He was Brett Favre's roommate. He did not feel comfortable coming out because, you know, there's a lot of things that were at play. You would have been, I don't know if you'd say ostracized, but just look at the Michael Sam and how that scenario played out. And that was probably, what, 7, 6, 7, 8 years ago, somewhere in that ballpark? In the early 2000s, it would not have happened. Unless you were a star player, because for as much as the NFL has progressed and, you know, all of the, I guess, the, you know, Roger Goodell statement, and you had John Gruden's statement and everything else, the bottom line is, I think now and how it's going to be received, I think there's going to be a ton of positives that come out of it. You're not going to hear the negativity. Not to say there's not guys in locker rooms
right.
that are going to look at this and just be completely open to it. That's not how this is going to go. But I think society has moved, and it has moved fast, in saying, no, if you do that, you're going to be ostracized from the NFL. Now, you know, is Nassib, is if his play dips, it's really going to be interesting to watch. But there is no... word. It's really been remarkable. And I think what you said there about Carl Nassib and the 40% and having representation and having people look at it, because it's not like there have not been gay NFL players before, and now I think you're going to see more and more guys feel more comfortable, especially seeing how this has been received both within the league and outside. I think you're going to see more people feel more comfortable in kind of talking about who they really are.
Looks like we lost Jason there for a second, Tausch, so we'll see if we can reconnect with him here in a second.
Yeah, I'm really just interested, you know, the Aaron Rodgers piece of this, because, you know, when Jason was just talking about it, that rumor was going around, and I think it stinks that that Jason felt that way and could have done something at that time, but it's really been interesting to see how this has progressed in the last 4 and 5 years, and it's going to continue moving forward, I think, in the right way for the NFL. You're seeing it in every other sport, and the NFL, now NBA, I think it happened, 3 or 4 years ago, so we'll continue to see that go. We'll get Jason back, hopefully after this break. I'm going to crack a Coors Light right now. No, I'm not going to crack one right now, but I had cracked a bunch this week. Coors Light brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light cold activated bottles, they turn blue when chilled to perfection. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, Coors Light's refreshing, it's crisp, and it's only 102 calories. So you want to reset, reach for the beer that is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'll tell you this, Tausch. So I heard Jason share that story yesterday about Aaron Rodgers on Scalzone Brust. That was great. I also heard him share something Sunday as I was driving from Winneconne to Muskego. I was listening to Sunday Karma. And Jason shared something about Mark Murphy and the Green Bay Packers, and it got me thinking about who's going to be in Green Bay the longest. And we'll talk about that as we continue next on Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Check, check, 1, 2, check, check. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? It's good timing. I've had a really good show 2 days in a row. Jesse's going to try and take over the show like he did on Friday when I was out. Jesse, speaking of you, I heard you mention as I listened to the show that you caught my appearance on Sunday with Craig Karmazin on Sunday Karma. And what we talked about on that show was Mark Murphy. He was curious. Now, again, he runs a company of his own that he founded Good Karma Brands. But he was curious as to whether the Packers executive committee would consider exerting any sort of pressure on Mark Murphy as it relates to this Aaron Rodgers story. Now, Craig's dad, he told this story. Craig's dad was the CEO of Sirius XM Satellite Radio. And Howard Stern, I would say, was the Aaron Rodgers of Sirius, right?
That's a good analogy.
Thank you. I'm one for two today.
Complicated fellow.
And what Craig's dad told him was, you make the guy who makes it all go happy. Now, that doesn't mean that Midwestern sensibilities would be on board with Goody getting fired at Rodgers' behest. Even though that kind of thing has clearly become acceptable in another league, in the NBA, right? I mean, we're seeing that all the time. But for a lot of people, they would not be on board with that if that occurred in Green Bay. So Craig's question was, could the executive committee pressure Mark Murphy, who is unwilling to move on from Goody, to move on from Goody? And I said no. But what could happen, Mark Murphy is 65 years old. The mandatory retirement age, which Bob Harlan reached, was 70. So that means Mark Murphy would have five more years before he is required to retire. But could they convince him that they need new blood and that Ed Policy, whose father ran the San Francisco 49ers and who appears to be the president in waiting, that maybe he gives them one more year? We talk about Aaron Rodgers giving the Packers one more year. What about Mark Murphy giving them one more year and then they transition to Ed Policy? I don't necessarily know what Mark Murphy's plans are. But Tausch, my biggest thing to Craig was, in the 70s and 80s, one of the reasons why they were dysfunctional was that the executive committee and the president were meddlesome. And now are we arguing to have them be more meddlesome? Because the history would tell us that that's not a great idea. I don't think Mark Murphy's going anywhere. But if he would, he would have to choose to or be nudged toward retirement before he's required to.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. I don't think, you know, that's going to happen. I will say this. I think it'd be more likely that it'd be Mark Murphy over Goody. I think if you had a pick, Mark Murphy has said he ain't going anywhere. Goody is not going anywhere. He's done a good job outside of handling his star quarterback in the draft pick of Jordan Love. That I'll say. I don't necessarily know. I think one of the good things about Green Bay, and especially when Ron Wolf was running it, you didn't care about the executive committee. Bob Harlan was not in. He obviously knew what was going on, and Ron Wolf would tell him what was up, but if Ron Wolf went to Bob Harlan and said, we're going to go trade for Brett Favre, we're going to go up a first-round pick, and Bob Harlan's like, you're nuts, you can't do that, Ron Wolf would have quit. And that's the whole point, and that's why Ron Wolf has been against this, the structure of how things are. I don't think that's where things are at right now, you know, involved with Mark Murphy, but you don't necessarily want to hear a bunch of that stuff. You want to have clear leadership. Here is who is in charge. I'm not sure right now who is in charge. Who is the final say on how this Aaron Rodgers scenario is going to play out? Because if Aaron Rodgers comes up and says, listen, I want a one-year opt-out, I'm going to come back, you maybe grab me one of my old former players, I don't know, man, Randall Cobb, somebody like that.
It's a good idea.
As a little sweetener, and then this is our riding off into the sunset. Is it Mark Murphy that's going to say, no, we're not doing that? Is it Goody? Who makes that final call? I don't know the answer to that. I know the structure is set up that Mark Murphy has that, but just like I joked, and I joked in a way that is like, this sounds insane, but if Mark Murphy didn't like the red zone plays, is he going down to the floor and saying, gee, why are we not getting the ball to Jimmy Graham? Or why are we not looking down the seam? You know, I used to play safety. I used to play in the NFL. This was always a tough route for us to cover. That sounds crazy, but if Mark really wanted to do it, he could. And I'm not saying he did. And I'm not saying he has. That is not functional. That's just not good function when you're talking about your structure. So I think if anybody goes in this scenario, outside of Aaron, it ain't going to be Goody. It would be Mark, but I don't think either. I think Mark is going to get close to finishing this out unless this scenario implodes, and then the board would step in.
So I was about to ask you, is there any scenario you could see that Aaron Rodgers outlasts Mark Murphy for tenure in Green Bay? Any scenario?
Yes, but it would be the last scenario I would pick.
So what would have to transpire? He comes back, they win a Super Bowl, he plays the way he played last year, and then he says, look, I gave you a Super Bowl, get rid of these people? And he goes to the executive committee? Like, I don't see that.
I don't either. But he could win, and maybe he could say, Goody ends up trading Jordan Love, and he ends up giving Aaron everything. He brings back Randall Cobb, and he brings back Lord knows who else.
Jordy Nelson off the farm.
Everything is just going, and Green Bay wins a championship. Devontae signs a big, fat new extension. They say, Aaron, we're giving you the farm. We're giving you the Joe Thomas plan, which isn't going to happen. But if you do that, and then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers can play five or six more years, Mark Murphy's forced to retire. That's where it's at. Or who knows, maybe Mark Murphy, there's an AD job at Northwestern that's open. Maybe that happens. Who knows? I don't think there's an age. I don't think there's an age restriction at Northwestern with the AD either.
I just don't see him going anywhere, and that was my point to Craig, is that I just don't see the executive committee saying, you know what, this is a mess, and you've got to go. I don't necessarily think they have to either, just because
I guess what's that going to change? Is if Ed Policy comes in, is that all of a sudden going to be the thing that moves the needle for Aaron Rodgers?
It could. Like, I don't know where I don't know what Ed Policy's policy is. Like, maybe he believes in star players and would be like, Goody, we're fixing this. We're giving him what he wants. He's the guy. Like,
we don't know what he wants.
There are those that.
Let me ask you this. Do the Packers know what Aaron Rodgers wants?
Does Aaron Rodgers know what he wants?
You cannot answer
can't
a question.
Do it.
It is so frustrating.
Ay.
It is so frustrating, and that's why it's going to be so fun for me when we get Jason Wilde down to Loch LaBelle in Oconomowoc. He ain't breaking 100 through nine holes. I can't wait. It's looking like a July date. I talked to your wife a little bit yesterday. She's
you
on board with
no
this.
No one responded to that text. You're lying to our listeners.
I am on board with it. I think Jesse's on board. We're going to go down. It's newly remodeled. It's an 18-hole course. It's historic. One of the first courses in Wisconsin and recognized as a founding golf club right on the heart of the Wisconsin Golf Trail. There's 18 holes. Jason, I'm only going to have you play 9. If you want to play 18, then we're going to sit. We're going to go through shot by shot, all 105 of them, at the Rivalry Pub for some great food. I'm going to show you all the history that's on their walls. You got all that great stuff. Then we're going to go out to the putt-putt course with our kids. Got the 18 holes out there where it's on a real green. You putt it out like it's mini golf, but it's not. You guys can join as well. Visit club at lochlabelle.com. That's lochlabelle.com for more information to book your tee time today. God, it's going to be fun.
There will be, I'm sure.
Will Homer say you're going to break 100?
I don't know, but I'm sure you'll ask. Uncle Homer has a conflict tomorrow, so he's going to join us today. Steve the Homer True, next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
There's a story circulating, the details aren't exact, but it's accepted quasi-scientific fact, because he's proven it again and again. Brett Favre is an alien. They say he's from the South, one of football's biggest stars. Like, sure you're from the South, Brett, the South of Mars. Yes, he's proven it again and again.
Favre is an alien of mine. Brett Favre is an alien.
You know what that music means?
Brett Favre is an alien. Yeah, he's proven.
You can hear him each weekday from 2 to 4.
Bob is an
Homer
alien.
True's on the show again. It is Steve the Homer True, host of Homer and Tony on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Homer, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm a little disappointed with listening to that. I'm not sure Brett Favre knows that such a song exists. And I feel like I should send it to him. You think he knows?
We can send it to him.
No, he loves us, so yeah, we could send it to him.
We can do that for you. Wait, you don't think he knows it exists? That's like 25 years old.
I'm not sure he knows the song exists. I don't know that. Did you ever play it for him?
Next time.
We did not play it for him when he came on the show.
Yeah, we'll play it for him next time, next year.
Seems like a no-brainer. Yeah, next time he's on, we'll play it as his intro music.
And tell him there was never one done for any other Packer quarterback, so, yet.
Duke Tomato and the All-Star Frogs present Aaron Rodgers is a complicated fella using the same harmonies as Brett Favre is an alien. Homer, how you feeling today? You're adjusting your schedule a little bit. You're joining us today.
Right. Well, actually, I can say this on your show because it's not, but I'm on vacation as of tomorrow. And the last 2 days include my first ever golf tournament. So I'm kind of nervous, but that's kind of why I wanted to play. So I had to play a little bit this morning, got done. But I've never played in a competitive golf tournament. So
you're doing the Andy North?
Think.
You're doing what Andy North did for the AmFam?
Well, yes, yes, but in a very different way. Senior two-man best ball. The problem is I don't really know the rules, like out of bounds and all the things, and so that's why I wanted to play with a partner. So I just tell, what am I supposed to do here? What are the rules? But yeah, I'll be nervous on the first tee and get nervous and then get mad that I'm not any good. So I feel like I needed to do that maybe once. So I might need to take next Wednesday through Friday off. Usually when I lost a bad tennis match, I didn't talk to anybody for a day. But hopefully I've matured a little.
Homer, are you a good gift? Are you a good gift giver?
No. I believe in cash. I think there's no point to give anything but cash. People love
you just
cash.
Set
they don't
me,
want to say you love cash.
You literally just sent me a gift in the mail that arrived on Saturday.
Right, but not really a gift. You need the background for that. My wife says I have too much crap around the house, so anytime I can possibly give something to someone to get crap out of the house, that's what I did. I donated a Bears helmet to Ted's and Toasties. Like, why are you giving it to me? My wife wants me to get all this stuff out of the house. So, and I wanted you to feel bad enough that you'll actually watch the movie. But that hasn't occurred
yet. October Sky.
Oh, October Sky. Homer, what's in the house that you're not getting rid of under any circumstances?
Everything. I don't have any desire to keep anything. Nothing. You can have everything. There's nothing I want to keep.
All right, what do you think I'd
like? My wife's not listening, so she'll just laugh. Like,
you got like a nice Federer racket, or what do you got? Like, what do you got going around there?
What do I have?
Yeah, I maybe want something out of there.
Oh, I got like gift certificates to restaurants I'll never use. I have this $100 gift card to a place that makes mushrooms or something. Then I have a Malcolm Brogdon signed print, which doesn't really have much value. I have Brandon Jennings signed print. Yeah. Let's see. I know you've said nothing so far. Yeah. You. It seems odd for you. I mean, you're
I thought maybe you had like an old Johnny McEnroe, like something vintage. I'm not interested in anything modern, but if you had like you hung out with Johnny Mack and Jimmy Connors, you
have
a tennis guy.
I had an autographed Roger Federer thing, but I gave that away, so that was.
Yeah, that was really nice.
I do have a signed Andre Agassi print, but I'm saving that for an auction.
That's good.
That to you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was thinking something more like you stole something that Johnny Mack was wearing when you were interviewing him, and he kind of
with the Bobby Riggs, the two of us.
Huh.
Two famous tennis players, one a little more famous.
Yeah, can we do like a reprint? You're going to keep right? You don't need
to
get rid of that.
I think he signed it to Steve. I think he could have beaten me at 65. It was amazing.
So is this the opposite of Jeff Sports' What's It Worth? This is like all these things that you just want to get rid of instead of finding out whether they're valuable?
No. Some of them are worth that October Sky. That's a good movie. I have a couple extra copies of Can't Hit the Curveball or whatever. I'm giving one to Sophia Minard. I think that's a fabulous movie, too. That's
Trouble with the Curve.
So, like, it's not like I'm giving you Caddyshack 3 or Back to the Future 3, which, by the way, you know, is Aaron Rodgers' favorite movie. I think the stuff is, you know, if it's crap, total crap, then I have the Homer 3-hour garage sale from 9 to noon. Come early if you want at 12. If there's anything left, it's free.
Can we? We should do our show.
We need to do
from
a remote
sale.
Yes. Let us know when you're doing that, Homer. We'll do that, and then after the garage sale's done, we're all going to Lac La Belle. And you think Jason's breaking 109 holes?
109 holes.
Yeah.
If he practiced easily. I want him to you should be pushing him to come back and compete in a bowling tournament. I'm doing it in golf. We need to get Jason to get back. He needs to compete in bowling. Could he do it with any amount of practice easily? But if he hasn't played, then that's going to be tough. That's a good course.
I have not played golf since Tausch's last Trifecta Foundation
08 or 09 was
event.
Our last Trifecta outing, yeah.
So that's over
a
decade.
With a week of practice or some sort of practice, he could break 100.
All right, so here's the deal. Homer, you tell us when you want to do the garage sale. We're going to do the remote, and then the four of us, Jesse Nelson included, we're going to go play Lac La Belle, and I'm going to donate money to Jason's charity if he beats it. If he breaks 100, you going to get on board with that plan?
Well, I mean, it depends if he does any prep as far as his golf.
No, I don't want him prepping. I want to see.
So
Jason
I can't prep. Now you're saying I can't prep?
No, you can. You can do whatever you want, but you got that bad elbow that you're fighting. I know that.
And I told you, I got
limited shots.
Elbow.
Yeah,
you got that bad elbow. All right, Homer.
Does he get to play? Does he get to play from the up tees?
He can play from the old folks' tees, like you.
Yeah,
you guys can both play the old folks' tees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll let you play from the old folks' tees.
And Homer,
maybe one round with John Kerry, who's sneaky good as a golfer, or, he needs to do some prep to understand the kind of course you're playing. Lac La Belle's a tough course, so very nice course. I know you from
great clubhouse, great sandwiches from what I hear.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm really in this for.
All right, Homer. Jesse said something yesterday, and then I saw you tweet about it. Do you think Brooke Lopez, if Kevin Durant's foot is back that inch and the Milwaukee Bucks lose by one, is Brooke Lopez looked at like Brandon Bostic from... You think so?
Yeah,
definitely.
What he did, a fifth grade player wouldn't screw up. I mean, you don't know the clock with that little time left.
That was surprising to hear.
No, it's inexcusable for a high school player to do that. And you almost never see it. I don't know that I've ever seen it other than maybe fifth or sixth grade basketball. We had the famous Caleb who looked at the ceiling as he was running down the floor. He might have done it, but no, that's I can't think of anything I've ever seen anybody do so stupid at that point of a game at that time. How do you not know? I mean, it's like forgetting to put on your shoes. Walk out there, oh, God, what happened? Oh, I just wasn't thinking, didn't have my shoes. No. It's way worse than what Bostic did. Just depends. All these stuff depend on how big a fan you are. Yeah, it was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen a professional basketball player do ever.
Wow.
There was video
It's not possible to comprehend what he was thinking.
before the play, he was actually reminding everyone else before the ball was inbounded how much time was left on the clock. He was holding up 2 seconds.
Well, I don't know if he was doing the clock or
the
shot clock.
Peace out, boys.
Seems a bit preemptive, Tausch, but yeah, could have been.
I mean, he's the luckiest man in the world. Because it's all forgotten, forgiven, like it never happened.
So, Homer, are you? I'm much more interested in this old folks golf tournament that you're playing in. Who is your partner? How old is your partner?
Scott Moore is our partner. This is the senior, so I think we're old seniors, 65 plus. And he's a good golfer, plays tournament golf all the time, and so we won't.
So he's a ringer.
What?
So he's your ringer.
He's not a ringer in terms of like, oh, we're gonna win. I don't even think of winning. He's a ringer in terms of he competes, so he knows all the rules and knows everything, and he's a good player. But it's not. He would not qualify. He's a rules ringer.
Okay. And you're playing. This is today. You're playing today or tomorrow?
No. I play next Monday, but I'm on vacation until then. I won't have a chance to play probably till maybe Sunday. So I wanted to get in one round, kind of, and be stupid to never play. Have not played in 2 weeks. All right, let's go play a tournament.
All right. Well, apparently I'm told to wait 11, 12 years before I play and try to break 100 at Lac La Belle.
I just want you to bowl again. When are you going to get in a bowling tournament?
No, we'll bowl after. So we have a full day planned. We
got a big
garage
day.
Sale. Yes. Yeah. Then we got the nine hole with a little lunch.
I do it on Saturday. What? You're saying you want to do this on a Saturday?
No, we'll do the garage sale on a Friday. We're doing the garage sale on a Friday.
Thanks for letting me. Glad to know I have a role in this. My garage sales are on Saturday, 9 to noon.
You'd
like me to push it to Friday?
Yeah, let's do it on Friday.
Just for you, I'll do that.
All right.
Now this, I'm interested in. The golf thing, not so much. This, I would go to Homer's house and do a show from his rummage sale.
I just want to see this unfold. I want to see how you do up to 100. Like, I think it is a fascinating study. So I can't wait.
I'm glad you're fascinated. Homer, enjoy your time off, and we can't wait to find out how your golf tournament goes. We're pulling for you, buddy. Good luck.
Bye. Thanks. Appreciate it. Just don't want to whiff. Bye.
I love the rummage sale idea.
I love both.
Love Lac La Belle. Great partner. Don't love the Lac La Belle idea. Sorry. That is Steve the Homer True. You can still catch him today. Today is his last day of work for the week. You can catch him on 94.5 from 2 until 4 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I'd like to talk more about rummage sales, but that's really in my wheelhouse, and that may not be something that you're interested in.
Then you're both, frankly. Everybody's getting what they want here. Jesse gets to bowl.
Yeah.
I get to watch you golf, and you get to host the rummage sale with Homer. Like, that is the classic win-win-win.
That is a full, fantastic day.
Jason, how about this? My first poll I'll ever put, you're going to help me do it, is going to be, will Jason break 100 at Lac La Belle? If I do that, then will you do it?
I'll think about it. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
I am unwritten. Can't read my mind, I'm undefined. I'm just beginning, the pen's in my hand, ending unplanned. Staring at the blank page before you, open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate the words that you could not find.
So upset. obsessed with this? That's what I want to know.
Because I've been wanting you to do this for a while. I think as we talked about in the 9 a.m. hour, you from a hobby standpoint, your kids are going to get older. You're going to need to have more stuff to do. Golfing is a fun way to go out and do stuff. I want you getting back out on the course.
It's not fun. Here's the problem. Now, I don't know how well you play.
I'm average.
Because you do a lot of charity work, because you're a good person.
Sure.
Playing in these golf tournaments.
Yeah.
I don't know how frequently you play. Here's my problem with golf. When I was in high school and when I was in college, I played regularly enough to be okay. I've never been good. No one. I'm never going to say, like, I was upper 80s when I would play at Greendale Martin Luther. Okay? I was never good. I was a less bad than other people.
Okay.
The problem with golf, and I think golfers would agree with me.
What's
you can
the
chime
deal
in
with golf?
Via the talk and text line. 844-770-3776, is that if you don't play regularly enough and you have any competitive bone in your body, you're going to play like garbage, and then it's not fun.
Hmm.
Am I wrong? Like,
no,
you don't play a ton.
Last year, I played a ton of golf. Like, I got in my middle of June, July, I was playing as good as I played 7 or 8 years ago, which was the best I've ever played. And that was low 80s. If I was shooting low 80s, I'm ecstatic. Now, I am a high 80s guy. That's where I can shoot 88 to 93 pretty. That's where I'm at for the most part.
And you feel good. You walk off the course and you feel good about it.
Fine about it. Yeah, it is what it is. Like, I enjoy playing. It's fun. It's still competitive. So it doesn't bother me that I'm not Seve Ballesteros. Like, that isn't, like, it doesn't bother me that that's, you know, I love hitting
great
a
name
couple,
to say.
As I'm a lefty, I like hitting the big flop shots because it's fun. Yeah, I'm not great. Make no bones about it. So you're, like, obsessing. Let me tell you a little something, Jason. I know you're, you know, a great writer. You're a decent radio host. You know, you can go on the list of things
not
that you're
today.
Really good at. You don't have to be great at something. You can still go out and enjoy it. So embrace this. It's for charity. It'll be fun for the show. It is a great partner. Let's do it. That's why, because you asked me why I'm obsessed about it. It will be fun. Trust me. Jesse, will this not be a fun time for our show?
We would have a blast. Our fans would have a blast. It'd be for a good cause. There would be no negativity to come from it.
Before you go any further, we're not like inviting people out. There's not going to be a gallery. Okay? So stop.
Honestly,
what I was thinking, Homer could bring all of his gear, and he could have a garage sale, and people could come out and buy stuff from this that would also go to a charity. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, great idea. The 11 o'clock hour will begin.
Pretty good idea.
Tausch, I am firmly in your camp on the entire situation.
All right. There we go.
Can't wait to go to the bowling alley.
Can you, Jason, just put it out into the field, and if people vote no, don't force Jason to do it. I will not talk about it one more word. None.
No, you put it in the field. You just said it was going to be your first poll.
If you agree, if the results come back, yes, I will find a way to figure out how to do a poll.
Jim Polzine, the new columnist for the Wisconsin State Journal, has an eye-opening story about the Badger men's basketball team having a confrontation, the seniors, with Greg Gard, in a secretly recorded meeting. The story is up on Madison.com. Jim will join us to kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildey and Tausch.